Well, this morning we're going to continue in our little summer series titled The Parables of Jesus. Now, if you were here last week, you know that I was gone and Pastor Sheila actually continued in this series with the parable of the compassionate employer, which is better known by most of us as the parable of the vineyard workers, right? That's what it's titled in the Bible. And as she shared about that parable, she talked about the fact that these parables can be looked at in so many different ways, right? That we can look at these things and receive different things from them. Some might focus on the vineyard worker, right, and their responses to the employer, while Sheila last week focused on the compassion of the employer. And the truth is, so many of the parables that Jesus shared can be looked at from different perspectives, right? Each of us might read the same parable and actually get something different from it. And I think this is absolutely true about the parable that we're going to take a look at this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Matthew chapter 25. Now, some of you may be familiar with this section of Scripture. It's titled The Parable of the Talents. And some of you are out there going, does he have the notes from a couple weeks ago? Because if you were here 2 weeks ago at our family service, then you should be extremely familiar with this section of Scripture, because it's actually the parable that I spoke on 2 weeks ago. And I'm guessing that some of you just weren't listening very well that week, and that's why God led me to speak on it again, okay? No. The not listening part might be true, probably isn't. But the reality is, the Lord led me to this parable again with really a different message. There are a few things that maybe cross over, but for the most part, it's a different message, looking at it from another perspective. And so, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me as we're going to read once again Matthew 25, verses 14 through 29. This is what it says. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come, share in your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him, give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And that's where we're going to stop this morning. Now, as we read this parable, we know that the talents that Jesus was talking about here in this story, it's money, right? Talents were actually a weight of gold, silver, or even copper. But as I mentioned a few weeks ago when we kicked off this little series on parables, I share that these parables are illustrations or analogies that Jesus would use to make a point. And so these talents here represent way more than just money. They represent the gifts and attributes that Jesus deposits into all of our lives. And one of the key elements of this parable has to do with knowing how to handle the gifts that we're given. How are we using these gifts for the Lord? We actually highlighted this a few weeks ago when we first looked at this parable. And so we see here in this scripture that the master gave different amounts of talents to each of his servants, right? To one he gave five, to another he gave two, to another he gave one. And the truth is, we're all unique, right? God created each of us differently. And in the midst of our diversity, God gives each of us different gifts and abilities. But I think the key to understanding this parable is realizing that the specific gift, how many talents you got, what God gave you, is not important. What's important is what we do with what he's given, right? Now, I hate to say this from up front for fear of sounding a little conceited, but the reality is God has instilled in me some wonderful gifts and abilities. But I know that there are many people out there, right, who are far more gifted than me. And if we're all being honest, that's probably true for each of us, right? God's given us great gifts, but there are a lot of people out there that are more gifted than us. But whatever gifts or abilities we have, however wonderful or great they are, that we have, that God's blessed us with, we were given these gifts for a reason, right? Not to go and bury them. He gave them for a reason. And this parable points out some amazing and hard, maybe scary things that I've been learning in regards to those gifts. And so as we look at this parable again this morning, I just want to look at three more things that I think we need to understand about these gifts and abilities that God has given us. And the first is this. This is the one that's maybe closest to what we talked about last week. But number one, we must understand they require responsibility. These gifts that he's given us, they require responsibility. And when we looked at this parable a few weeks ago, we talked about the fact that the master in this parable, he expected a return on his gift, right? He expected to at least have some interest on what he gave the servants, right? His response to the one who did nothing proves this point. If he didn't require a return, we wouldn't have seen the response from the master that he gave to the one who went and buried the talent. You see, God expects us to do something, right? To do something with the gifts he's given us, which brings about a responsibility for all of us. We have to do something with these gifts that he's given us. So just saying yes to following Jesus brings great responsibility to our lives. I think that's a problem that pastors don't share enough. Give your life to Jesus and it's all good from there. No, give your life to Jesus. It's good, but it's going to require some responsibility. And the truth is, for some people, it's not something we like to talk about. Some of us are like, no, I'm good with just give me the salvation and I'm good. Let me step back and do nothing now, right? We don't like to talk about the truth here. Some of us are just good with receiving the gift of salvation and then burying it like the one did. We don't really want to think about responsibility, the responsibility that comes with what God has given us. But listen to what Jesus says in Luke 9:23, he says, if anyone wishes to come after me, they must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Take up their cross. Man, have you read the story of the cross? So often I think we fail to realize or we kind of forget the implication of this scripture. Taking up our cross means we must be willing to give up our life, our wants, our desires. Why? To follow Jesus. Just saying yes to Jesus requires great responsibility. And if that wasn't enough, the Lord wants to give us gifts and talents that require even more responsibility. This idea of responsibility is something the Lord has really challenged me with over the years. The Lord has gifted me with a heart and love for people. It started with youth, right? He's given me this heart for people. But with that heart comes great responsibility. And if I'm honest and transparent with you this morning, I sometimes find myself coming up short in those responsibilities. I remember several years ago, as I was doing ministry, right? I'm a pastor. I'm doing ministry. The Lord said to me, "Darren, you're so busy doing ministry that you're failing to do ministry." And what I mean by that is this: it's so easy to get caught up in the administrative aspects of pastoring, of ministry. It's so easy to get caught up in the facilities and the tasks of ministry that I fail to do what I'm gifted to do, which is loving and pastoring people. And I know this is something we all struggle with, right? And maybe a better way to say it for those that aren't pastors here, right? We're all pastors, whether you believe that or not. We all are called to go into the world. But for those that don't have that title of pastor, I think a better way to maybe say it is this: is sometimes we're so busy doing life that we're failing to do life, that we're failing to experience life the way God intended us to do it, right? Not just saved from, but saved for. We talked about that earlier when we talked about communion. And we miss out when we live life this way. We miss out on those opportunities to use the gift that God has given us for His glory. And so again, the truth is we all have a responsibility to steward the gifts and abilities that God has given us. And for me, that's loving and pastoring people. And if I'm too busy doing things that I'm not gifted to do, other responsibilities that I'm not gifted in, then I'm not stewarding the gifts God has given me as well as I could be. Which means I'm lacking in my responsibility. I think we all have to take time in our lives to step back and self-assess where we're at in our relationship with the Lord, in our walk with Him. How are we doing in this area of responsibility? Are we being faithful with the things that God has deposited in our life, with the talents or gifts or abilities that He's given to us? Are we using them for His glory, or are we failing to use them for His glory? Or to take it a step farther, are there attributes of God's Spirit, right? A lot of times we think of like gifts, being able to do this or doing that. But to take it a step farther, are there attributes of God's Spirit that He's deposited in our lives that we're failing to do anything with? God has lavished us with His love. Are we loving others in the same way? Are we using what He's poured into us? Are we caring for them in the same way? God has shown us amazing compassion and grace. Are we showing others the same compassion and grace? I mean, the list goes on. What are those things that God demonstrates and shows us? Are we doing those same things for others? How are we doing when it comes to this idea of the responsibility that we have to steward whatever God pours into our lives? What's keeping us from being the responsible followers of Jesus that He's calling us to be? I was thinking about this a little bit, and I think for some, perhaps it's our insecurities, right? Sometimes our shame of our failures. I'm not good enough. Well, can I really do it? There's others out there that can do this better than me. And so we sit back and we take a back seat, right? Because of our feelings of inadequacy. I want to share with you a little study I came across. Two young psychologists, they actually studied the conditions under which people are not willing to help others in an emergency. In essence, they concluded that responsibility is deferred when more people are present. And it said this, the more people present in an emergency situation, the less likely it is that any one of them will go and offer help. This is popularly called the bystander effect. In the actual experiment, when only one person was present, when something was happening to someone and one person was present, 85% of those people were like, I got to do something, and they responded. But when two people were present, it dropped from 85% to 62% responded. And then when five people were all present and an emergency was happening, not five just stood there because they were all right. Oh, well, is they gonna? Maybe they'll do something. Maybe they'll do something. And it dropped down to 31% responded when someone was in an emergency situation, when five people were there. Now, I think this is a great illustration of why we sometimes struggle to step out and do something. Why we struggle to use the gifts that God's given us. Because when other people are present, we tend to defer our responsibility to them. Every time I show up here at the church, there's somebody greeting me. They must not need anyone to greet. Oh, their worship's going on. Do they need worship? Oh, children's ministry, it's happening. Do they really need children's ministers, right? Oh, someone else is doing it. I guess they don't need me to do it. We do that. We do that in life, right? We defer the responsibilities to other. Oh, they're more gifted. They're more talented. They should do it, not me. And this raises a question that I think many people have when it comes to our responsibility as followers of Jesus. The question is this. Does God depend on our gifts and talents? Does he depend on us, right? Does he actually depend on us to carry out his work? And if so, what if I don't take responsibility? What if I don't do the things he's calling me to do? Will God raise someone else to take our place? Or will those things that we were responsible to accomplish just not get done? It's a very interesting question, right? And I'm guessing many people have differing opinions on this. I think some of us would like to believe that God will raise someone else up, right? Because then we might not feel as bad if we don't step up, if we don't do and take responsibility for the things he's given us. But here's the thing. Here's the better question. Do we want God to have to raise someone else up because we failed to do what he's calling us to do? We're failed to use the gifts that he's given us. We all have the gifts. We all have gifts, and God wants to use those gifts. He gave them to us for a reason. And I believe this. We have all the gifts we need in this church at any given time to accomplish the mission that he's given us. It's just a matter of each of us being willing to step up and use those gifts. And if we want to live a life of influence, if we want to make an impact on the world around us, I think we have to live life as if God does depend on us, right? I think it's, if I can get this right, Mark Batterson says, pray as if it depends on God, but live your life as if it depends on you. And it's that idea that we trust in God and it really does depend on him, but we want to do our best to live our life and do the things that God has called us to do, to not have God have to raise someone else up. Amen? Because with each gift and with each ability comes this great responsibility. Second thing that the Lord has been teaching me, again through this parable, that I think holds true about God's gift is this. We must understand they require us to take risks. The two that received blessings from their master, they had doubled their money, right? 5 to 10, 2 to 4. They invested what they had in it. They doubled it. And I believe it's impossible to double, right? We can, like he said, you can go just get interest. But it's impossible to double our investment without taking some sort of risk, right? There's always that risk that we might lose whatever it is we put out there. But without risk, the opportunity for true gain doesn't exist. It's kind of funny because when it comes to life, I have always, growing up, I was somewhat of a risk taker, right? I loved heights. I really did. I loved jumping off stuff. I loved speed. I loved to go fast. I remember, too, whenever we would go cliff jumping with my buddies or bridge jumping, I was younger at the time. With my back now, I do have to be careful. But back then, I was always the first to jump. If I lived, then they would jump. Except for one case, I should say, when I there was this rope bridge. There was this rope underneath this bridge. We thought, oh, maybe we could swing out and go off, right? Sounded cool. So I swung off. And there were people up above the bridge, and we're like, hold up, don't jump, we're going to swing out. And I was the first one and last one. I swung out, and I let go, and thankfully I hear this girl from the top go, oh, goodness, he's going to hit the rock. So all I did was I just tucked my body in like this, and I literally, if my leg would have been out, I probably would have snapped it. But I tucked in, and I felt the rock go down my side as I did that. So everyone else was like, yeah, maybe that's not a good idea. Thanks for letting us know, Darren. But I was a risk taker. But for some reason, when I came into ministry and leadership, I then all of a sudden decided that I needed to play it safe. And it's funny, I realized that one of the reasons I never wanted to be a senior pastor was because that seemed like a risk. That was scary, right? I used to always joke that the reason I never wanted to be a senior pastor was because adults are boring, right? That's what I used to say. That was kind of how I would joke. But the funny thing is, shortly before I made the move to senior pastor, Stacy, she called my bluff. She said, that's not the reason you don't want to be a senior pastor. She said, you don't want to be a senior pastor because you're afraid. And I'm like, afraid? What are you talking about? I'm a Marine. Come on, man. Them's fighting words, right? Or I guess they would have been fighting words if they weren't true. I realized she was right. I was afraid. I didn't know if I had what it took to be a senior pastor. Right? As a youth pastor, man, all you have to do is have some fun games, right? And be a little crazy. And man, the youth love you. But what if the adults don't like me? What if I'm not smart enough? What if I'm not educated enough? What if I fail? Then what? Right? Well, guess what? I've been pastoring, now senior pastoring, for 11 and a half years. I've had a lot of people who didn't like me over the years. But I've realized that's not what it's about, right? It's about taking responsibility. It's about being obedient. It's about taking risks and trusting that if God's called us to it, He'll give us what we need to do it, right? That if God's given us those gifts, He's given them to us for a reason. I realize I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody. But God has given me gifts and talents that make me a somebody. Not me, but through Him. And if I wasn't willing to take a risk, I know this, I wouldn't have the blessing that I have of Dallas Four Square Church, of the people that I get to love and partner with here in this ministry. And I've come to realize that adults aren't bad, right? As a matter of fact, 99.9% of them are awesome. We won't talk about the other 0.1%, okay? They've all left anyway, so I'm just kidding. The reality is, we'll never know what we're capable of if we aren't willing to take a risk, if we aren't willing to step out and use those gifts that He's given us. And if you think about it, when you look at this parable, the flip side when it comes to this parable is not risking. And what happened to the one that didn't risk? He lost everything anyway, right? So honestly, what do we have to lose? Nothing. We got to step out. We got to take those risks and use the gifts that God's given us. And then the third and final thing the Lord has been teaching me about His gifts is this. We must understand that the reward will require more of us, right? It'll require more responsibility. It will require more risk. Woohoo! Right? Verse 21 and 23 says, His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." And there are really two things we need to understand here when it comes to this reward. The first is that if we're responsible and if we're willing to take risk, we get the reward. God's going to bless us, right, with His master's happiness. We get to share in the master's happiness. And so the great thing is there is a reward. It is a blessing that God gives to us. And I don't know about you, but I want to share in the master's happiness. I want to experience His peace, His joy, His goodness in my life. Who wouldn't want to receive that great reward? But the thing is, the second thing we need to understand is this second part. It says, His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things," right? And so the second thing is with that reward comes more gifts, which means more responsibility, more risk. Like I said, woohoo, right? Maybe that's why sometimes some of us, we don't push. We don't want more. We're like, "I'm good with what I have, Lord." But God's calling us to more. He wants us to take risks. He wants us to do more. He wants us to keep pressing in, to keep seeking Him in the midst of the craziness of this world, to keep doing our best to use what He's given us. And it's hard. It's funny, my wife and I, we've learned to laugh at each other, right? When we say, "Well, hey, it won't be so crazy once we get past this season," right? We've been saying that for years. "Oh, all right, yeah, just get past this." And then, but what happens? There's more. I mean, it's life. We live in a world that is full of busyness. Now there are seasons that are slower than others, and we do have to learn in the midst of the busyness to pause, to rest, to let God fill us for those. But sometimes I think we think, "Oh, once I get past this, I'll have this like 3-month vacation with nothing to do," right? But life doesn't work that way all the time. Sometimes life just keeps coming at us. And one of the things that I'm learning, I think, from this section of Scripture and that God has been teaching me is this. In the midst of all the craziness, life is short. In reality, when you think of the scope of our life and the beginning of time to eternity, right? Life for us here, it's short. And so when we think in that way, God is giving us opportunity after opportunity to make the best of what He's given us, opportunity to use our gifts to make a difference. And if we're willing to take on that responsibility, if we're willing to take on those risks, we just might have an impact on the people that are around us. And isn't that what the life of following Jesus is all about? It doesn't matter whether we have just one talent or two talents, five talents, whatever. The key is just that we're living life to the fullest, that we're being faithful with what He's given us, that we're using whatever we've been given to make a difference for Him. Whatever we have, it's because He's given it to us, and our job is to be faithful with it, to be faithful with the little, so that He can give us more. And then we'd be faithful with the more, so that He can give us even more, and that we can continue to grow in Him. Why? So that we can continue to be people who make a difference, so that we can continue to see His kingdom extended in and through our life. That's what it's about. Amen? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for these parables that You have given us, Lord. And as we've learned that, Lord, these parables and just Your scripture in general, Lord, we can read it and see one thing. And then we can read it again and see another thing and another thing, Lord. You are a God that is infinite, Lord. And so You continue to speak. And as we receive the things that You spoke to us this morning, our prayer is that, Lord, we have ears that will hear, hearts that will be open to receive. What is it that You are challenging us in today, Lord? What is it that You wanted to speak into us? Whether that's to encourage us to keep going, whether that's to challenge us to maybe take some risks that maybe we've been afraid to take. Maybe that's to dig up what we've buried and start to use it for Your glory, Lord Jesus. Whatever it is, whatever You want to speak to each of us today, my heart is that we are open to receive what You want to communicate to each of us. We are all at different places on this journey of following You. And so, Lord, my prayer is that wherever we're at, You are a God that meets us right in that place, and that we would receive what You have for us, and that, Lord, it would help us be better tomorrow than we were today, that we would continue to grow and be faithful with whatever You have deposited into our lives, Lord. We thank You again for this parable and all the things that we can receive from it. We give it to You. We give You our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.